Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Blah, 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 blah.
Paul Perillo.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Fred Kirsch.
Our show should make pots bigger.
Paul Perillo.
Fred, you don't even believe your own crap now. You don't.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Check it out.
Paul Perillo.
I resign.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
PFW in Progress at its worst.
Woo!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress once again. At this part of the country, we're getting nailed with snow, but Paul and I are here. Andy's not. Eric's snowed in. I'm not buying it, though.
Just if you get an opportunity today at some point, you know, just a couple of special thoughts and prayers out to Eric.
Well,
let's make sure he's okay.
He told me, you know, they haven't plowed his street, and I just picture, like, the Red Cross dropping food into everyone on you know, this one street in North Providence that can't go anywhere.
It can be frustrating because I live
Wisteria
on a little
lane.
Yeah, I live on a little cul-de-sac that doesn't get plowed very often, and when it does, it, to me, gets plowed the wrong way. So I can relate to Eric's pain.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean,
I didn't want to leave you by yourself to do another NPR special, Freddie, so I came in.
Okay. Well, thank you, Paul.
And I also will make this this vow to you. I will not get into an argument with you today.
Well, that's all right.
Because we don't argue when it's just the two of us.
No, but I think people like it when we argue.
I'm not so sure they do.
You don't think so?
Lying your ass off.
It depends on what we're arguing about.
The nut wizard?
We actually continued last Tuesday's discussion off air. Like we talked about it, and it actually turned into kind of an interesting discussion.
And we came to an agreement.
No.
When it was all said and done.
Look, I'm saying that this is the Ditka thing. He must have been doing something right as a coach. I find it hard to believe. I still don't think he's a very smart man. But, you know, we'll leave it at that. He must have done something right as a coach.
I don't think that he was a very good coach. And I said that to you last Tuesday. And I also don't think he was an overly intelligent guy.
Yeah.
We kind of veered off into a different discussion off air that you're talking about is – we talked about how important that was.
Yeah.
Do you have to be an overly bright guy?
Right.
Now, I think Bill Belichick is a very cerebral guy. I think he's a well-rounded, well-learned man. I think he's, you know, obviously he's got an economics background. I think it's pretty apparent when you talk to him that he's a pretty bright guy. Now, I don't know what his SATs are and IQ and stuff like that, but I think he's a pretty bright guy, and I don't think Mike Ditka is a very bright guy.
Right.
You and I disagreed a little bit. You think that's really a pretty important part of the job is being smart. I think knowing football and then sort of knowing how to be a coach, knowing how to handle players, different personalities and whatnot, that's all you need. I don't think you need to be, you know, splitting the atom or
and
anything
you
like
might,
that.
You know, like I don't think you need to be as smart as Belichick is, but I my contention is you have to have, and I, as I said, some modicum of intelligence to succeed in the NFL. But,
well, I think
you know,
to get to that level, I don't think you can be a moron.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as you called Mike Ditka.
And things have changed since then, too, with free agency and the cap. The cap has changed how people look at it, and I've heard some people say that that's kind of what Parcells' downfall was. He just wasn't willing to look, you know, understand the ramifications of the cap and the new CBA, and always left that to somebody else and then would disagree with that person when they
the philosophy that you would say the difference between Parcells and Belichick is Belichick always does things with long-term in mind as well as short-term, whereas Parcells always did things with only the short-term in mind because I don't think he ever worried about the long-term because he knew he wasn't going to be around.
Parcells' whole thing is don't tell me the pain, just show me the baby.
And Bill
he doesn't want to get into all that stuff.
But Bill Belichick, I think he knew he had a vision in 2000 and said, I'm probably still going to be the Patriots coach in 2011. Bill Parcells has never thought that since he left the Giants.
Right.
He has never thought, I don't want to make that move because I'm not going to be here right. in four years.
I coach year to year.
That's going to hurt us 4 years from right. now. He right. says, you know, whether it was the Patriots, the Jets, the Cowboys, or his time with the Dolphins, he knew he wasn't going to be around, you know, beyond four or five years.
Yep.
And that's, I think, where the philosophies differ with those two guys.
So we had a good discussion, and then we got into, not on the show, but this is in the office, just name a coach's name. Do you think he's smart or not? What's your impression?
And that became just utter ridiculous.
No, but I think that's fun because
– Marv Levy. I think he's a pretty smart guy.
It reveals, like, you know, the perception in and how – you know, we have different ways of thinking. Some like Steve Mariucci. I don't think he's that good.
I think he was a bad
overrated.
Coach, though.
Yeah,
and he didn't. I mean, he never won anything. He right. wasn't a good coach.
And I think on TV he's not that good either.
No, I agree.
You know?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like Marv Levy, smart guy, but I guess he was a good coach with all the success.
He was a pretty good coach. You know? Now he didn't put it all together, and I know that's big for you. It's you know who you know. Bill puts it all together.
Well, I think when
Bill Polian put those teams together.
But when someone does put it together, I think that adds to, you know, the evidence that he's a smart guy.
You know, I just think that some of the things that you deem people to be not smart about
doesn't matter.
Well, there are plenty of instances where, like Bill Polian,
right.
okay,
smart guy.
All right. Well, how many dumb things has he said publicly over the last
oh,
10
yeah.
years?
Well, I think he's a hothead.
Right.
That's why.
And that's not smart.
You're right. You're right.
But he is a smart guy. You
Very
think
smart.
Ditka is a hothead, and he's just stupid. He's a moron.
I think
he's a moron.
Both.
You know, that's the only part that we sort of veered off. Do I think that Mike Ditka, I'm sure you're going to get to it. Somebody emailed in and said to compare him to Belichick. Nobody
yeah.
is comparing
no,
Mike
but
Ditka
I'm, and
to
I'm
Bill
not
Belichick.
Doing that either.
I certainly yeah. am not.
No.
I don't think Mike Ditka was a great coach, but for a guy to have won over 120 games in
right.
his career, you can't be a stiff.
Something
to compare him
yeah.
to Barry Switzer to me was laughable.
Well,
he didn't inherit a Super Bowl team. He built one. He oversaw one.
I'll agree with you that you don't have to be necessarily – you don't have to win in the NFL and be a brainiac because
– No, there's too many guys that
aren't.
There's
too many guys that have won and aren't, so –
But I do think that you need some level of intelligence to reach that height. I mean, you can't just be
especially
Joe, you know, rah-rah high school coach with, you know, he's a rockhead and all he knows
well,
is
Mike
football.
Well, Mike Singletary.
You know, you can make an argument for that.
Yeah.
You can make an argument for that.
Great rah-rah guy, but as we saw, it just, you got to, you know, he couldn't do it. And we know somebody on the inside that kind of has some,
yeah.
that said, he just wasn't a good X and O's guy, you know? The other thing I want to talk about today, and I don't know if people want to talk about that, but I Paul, I'm just
– What's the matter,
I go crazy listening to the radio and reading these emails about people that are just abandoning ship because they've lost this game. And I'm not going to read the person's name, but this one email that came
– Why are you not reading the name?
Well, I don't want to read his name because it didn't come to the show. It
came okay.
It went to the front office.
Oh, so it was forwarded from the front office.
Nice. I get copied on him.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's good.
This he's kind of a big deal.
Who made that decision and why?
This person, I think this is typical of the emotion that people get, and they just lose all perspective. And this person says, I've been an all-Boston sports fan my whole life. Okay. To be expected seeing I was born and raised in the city of Boston. The 18-0 record and then losing the Super Bowl is unacceptable. You Patriots have no excuse. The same applies to this year with a 14-2 record and the Pats can't even get through their first round of the playoffs. I'm disgusted. You embarrassed yourselves and me. I see a team like the Steelers fighting for every inch of the ground, and I have to say they are still hungry for another Super Bowl ring. Maybe the Pats need to take lessons from the Steelers. Maybe Mr. Kraft should sell the team. My company is in Pittsburgh, and I can tell you that these people are laughing at the Patriots as well as they should. Thank God for the Celts, Bruins, and Red Sox. Although the Bruins being up three games and losing is no better, I'm seriously considering changing my allegiance to another pro football team. You Patriots would have been better off losing more games and not making it into the playoffs. A totally disgusted maybe ex-fan.
That's being a jackass.
That's exactly right.
You know?
That the drop, not the email. yeah, I mean, that's I actually wonder if that's even legitimate. That's so over the top, ridiculous. I wonder if it's... meant to be.
I just
signed
if,
Eric in Providence.
Yeah,
look, I'm as disappointed as anyone that they lost that game, but people have to understand how hard it is to year after year be close or in the playoffs in this league. It's
what was the evidence that the Patriots weren't fighting to win?
I know.
And, you know, why did Pittsburgh show more of an effort
right,
in their game?
That's
Pittsburgh was lucky to beat Baltimore.
Right.
They could have been one and out too.
You know,
they were very lucky to win that game.
Why can't we be more like the Steelers? What does that mean?
I don't know.
I just don't get it. And so I don't think most of the listeners on this show are like that. I hope not.
No, I don't think that. I think that's first of all, like I said, I think that's a fake.
You think that might be a fake?
I think that's over the top. But I don't think there's a lot of people that think like that. I think right now there's more optimism for the future because I don't think there are a ton of holes to be filled. There are some. They need to upgrade the talent. And I thought, of all people, Ron Borges made a good point yesterday. They were talking about the Patriots free agents.
Yeah.
And there's not a ton of them. There's a lot, but there are not a ton. There are not a lot of important
impact
ones.
Guys. Yeah.
Matt Light, Logan Mankins.
Right.
You know. But Borges made an interesting point. He said, yeah, they might not have a lot of guys they need to replace right away, but what you have to wonder is if Bill is sitting there saying how many guys that are playing that are under contract need to be replaced.
Right. No, he's,
and that's an interesting way of looking at it.
Sure.
Because, you know, as we said on Tuesday, you really don't have a starting caliber outside linebacker.
Yep.
Well, they're not free agents. You don't have to replace them.
Right.
You need to find
them. That's right. You need to upgrade.
You know, and that was what Borges' point was. It was interesting to see. I guess he really got into it yesterday with Glenn. They went
back
and forth early in the show.
Really?
I didn't hear much of it, but Chris Gasper was telling me last night. I went to the Bruins game with Chris and some other guys from the Sports Hub.
Wow.
And they were talking about Borges and Glenn were really going at it.
Bruins win?
Bruins did win. That's kind good. Of a dull game, though. But it was a luxury box.
That's nice.
Buffalo wings,
wow,
chicken fingers.
You and the guys.
Burgers, dogs, beers.
That's good.
No Miller Lite, though, Fred. No,
are you kidding
Had
me?
Had to drink Bud Light.
Oh, that's terrible. It's like water.
we were going to go drink. I went through the Bud Lights and then switched to Coors Light.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, you look at this team, and there are tons of areas in which you could definitely see them upgrading. Absolutely. I mean, actually, pick a spot except for quarterback. And
very few. I mean,
there's
a handful of spots.
You could definitely see an upgrade at every spot.
I'm really concerned about how the offensive line is going to take shape because I think that you have a chance for some significant turnover there.
I think Light comes back for at least another year.
If Mankins doesn't, I think Light comes back
because,
on a short-term, low-money deal.
Like we said, he had an okay season. There was no evidence that he was really like.
But if you had to choose, wouldn't you rather have Mankins back?
Oh. If I had to choose between the two, absolutely.
So,
but why can't you have both? I mean,
well,
I don't think Light's going to command that much money.
I think
he realizes, you know, I just want to play again. He might even play for, you know, $1 million.
Yeah. I mean, you could be right. You could be right. I don't think we'll see both of them back.
Really?
I think if Mankins returns, I think Light probably won't.
Because
you move with Mankins, you move Ulmer over to the left side. Kadjer, if healthy, that's a big if, because back injuries, back surgeries and stuff are certainly no certainty for NFL guys. You know, you put him back at right tackle, Vollmer at left, Mankins, Copen's here for another year, more
Does
than
Neil
likely.
Come back?
Neil probably doesn't come back, but I think with that group, Dan Connolly's fine as your right guard.
Yeah.
And then you can sort of go from there. But if you lose Mankins, and now you have two inexperienced guards playing with Dan Connolly and Ryan Wendell or Rich Ornberger or somebody like that, that doesn't – just the face that you just made tells – that's exactly the way I feel about it.
Yeah.
And then if you do lose Light, you know, now I'm not as – I don't feel as good about the Vollmer-Kadjer situation given the middle of the line without Mankins.
And, you know, really, if you look at that last Jets game, the one thing that the Pittsburgh Steelers really did have that the Patriots didn't is a tough running game. You know, a line them up and run type of running game, not a Danny Woodhead finesse running game.
Yeah, and they did a good job early in the game. I thought, you know, we talked about that Tuesday too. Mendenhall was great. He broke a lot of tackles. They didn't open a lot of huge holes for him, but he certainly did some things that Benny probably isn't capable of doing.
Right. So that's another area where, you know, and we said it early in the season that we could see them drafting a running back fairly high.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be a Mark Ingram high. But,
you know, it's one of those deals. You got the, what, the six picks in the first 100 or whatever it is, whatever it works out to be.
Yep.
I'd be very surprised to not see a running back.
So Pro Bowl's going on. Patriots, of course, have six guys out there, plus the coaching staff. So we do have a crew. Matt Smith and Kraft Sports Productions is out there, and they've been feeding some stuff. So if you go to Patriots.com.
He's wearing socks, by the way.
Is he?
Well, probably. Not out there. He did have socks
but
on.
He's wearing shorts.
Oh, so, he
so when
socks.
He wears shorts and the sneakers, he's got to have the socks.
Right.
Yeah, I asked him the other day if he had socks on. He says, yeah.
So they had their first Patriots today from there, and it's interesting to see Bill Belichick just talking with Peyton Manning and Ray Lewis on the field. You know, that's interesting stuff. And then Belichick addressed, you know, the team indoors and said, hey, look, you know, have fun, but realize that it, you know, it is a privilege to be out here. So, you know.
Yeah, and so you can check out some of that stuff on Patriots today. And also right. Matt is sending some emails back to us that we're posting on the blog,
right?
Which is a lot of what Fred's just describing right there. But hopefully we can get some more of that information, probably later in the day because of the time
right.
difference. It doesn't come in
right.
until later. But
So
check those out.
Yep. And Mankins was there, and he talked to a lot of people. And one of the things Mankins told Karen Garigian is that there are 32 teams in play when it comes to him, and whatever one I feel is the best situation for me is where he's going to go. He said, and then asked if the Patriots could be one of those teams. He said, there's always a possibility, but to tell you the truth, I haven't given it much thought right now. If there was a CBA, I'm sure I'd be thinking about it
a
lot more. And then it really funny, I thought, Mencken said some things about the Patriots owner, Robert Kraft, and a long-term deal between player and team reportedly was prevented when Mencken refused to make a private apology to the man who signs the checks. Well, everyone knows I apologize to Mr. Kraft, Mencken said. He told everyone. So, and everybody was laughing. I thought that was pretty funny. Paul, you're making a face like you shouldn't have said that?
Well, I guess, did you see it?
Yes.
Did you see this interview? Was he laughing?
Yeah.
Okay, then yeah. Okay, you're right then.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there was like a reason he said that, like he wasn't happy that
he
made such a big deal out of it.
I think he probably wasn't.
But if he was laughing about it, then that's a good sign.
At this point, he's probably, you know, whatever. The other thing he said that I thought that was that people laughed at was, you know, they were talking about his contract. He's like, you know, honestly, you guys are trying to ruin my vacation.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't really thinking about, you know. But we'll see. I
think that's going to be one of those deals that is going to be just the way it was last year. I think Logan's going to have something in mind, and I don't think he's going to bend.
No, I think the price has gone up.
Well, it had to have.
Yeah.
It had to have. First of all, he has another year now under his belt of high-caliber play, all-pro play. And the difference that he showed from when he was in the lineup and, you know, and out of it.
Yep.
I don't think it's going to be an easy sign. I don't dismiss it, though. I think there's a chance. I think the Patriots may look at him a little bit more respectfully this time than they did last time because of those things.
Yeah, I think that all this off, you know, all the talk and apologies and all that stuff aside, if the Patriots come to him with the right money, he'll play.
Absolutely.
If they don't, he won't. It's that simple.
I
really think it has nothing to do with apologies anymore.
He likes it here. If he gets what he wants here, he's going to stay here.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the other stuff. Yeah. I'm totally on board with you.
All that's it's just about the money right now. If he gets what he wants, he'll stay. If he doesn't, he'll go. And some other team will probably pay him that because he is approved. You know, guards are guards, but he's one of the best. He's proven that. Lunch today is brought to us by Derek from the University of Arizona, and he's on the Ace Ticket Hotline right now. Hey, Derek.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Thank
you,
Derek.
Good. We're cold and snowed in, but we're good.
Yeah, my cousin from Marblehead sent me a picture, and it looks like you guys got a lot of snow right now.
Yeah, we did. It's we don't know where to put it either because it's now three straight storms of about a foot each, and it hasn't warmed up to melt any of it, so it's just piling up.
All right. Well, it's 70 and sunny here, so if you guys want to head over here,
go screw.
Welcome to.
All right.
The best I can do is I got to go to Marblehead on Sunday for my son's birthday party.
All right, good deal. How did you guys like lunch? Is it coming in a little while, Jason Smith?
I guess so. It hasn't got here yet, but it'll be here pretty soon. But thank you very much. We appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Figured I owed it to you guys. I've been listening to the show for over a year.
Yeah, man!
I've listened to the show for over a year, and You guys give me a lot of laughs over the day, you know, over the time. So
well, we do appreciate it, though, Derek. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. I wanted to get into something you guys kind of talked about, just like the holes in the team. And first off, though, I hope that emailer about that that Friday you got CC'd on.
Yep.
I hope that was, you know, I hope that was a joke.
I hope so. But you know what? I've seen too many others like that, Derek. That's the problem. I get copied on all these emails, you know, and I understand, like, right after a loss. This one came in yesterday. But after losses, we get a lot of these, like, people just giving up, you know, and I just don't get it. You know,
I don't know why I wasn't as hurt as I was after the loss. I was upset. I was more upset because we lost to the Jets than anything.
Yeah.
I was more in disbelief. It really sunk in when the championship game was on.
Yeah.
You know, that was the real big one. And I don't know, I just don't understand. Like, when I called in last week or whatever, and I said I'm not really sure why the Patriots Nation is so divided. I really don't understand how this loss, just people are just like, oh, well, Belichick needs to go. You know, I actually heard someone say, can we trade Brady and get Michael Vick? Like, it's just ridiculous.
It's just so nonsense, ridiculous. You know. And, you know, look, I admit, I watched that AFC Championship game, and the whole time I'm thinking, man, we should be playing in this game. But you know, this is the NFL, and other fans would just die to have the success we have had and are having, you know, to be in it every season.
I mean, there's at least 26 teams that would kill.
Right. There's only a handful of teams that
You got the Colts, the Steelers, you know, us. You know, maybe Philadelphia has been pretty consistently good. San Diego to a lesser extent. Who else?
Right. It's really hard to do what we're doing.
No one's done what we've done.
Yeah, exactly. And we've been so good just bringing in, you know, just staying consistent, I think is the best word to use.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys talked about some needs. And, you know, Mike Reese thinks defensive line is the biggest need, and then pass rusher, and then offensive line. I think outside linebacker, pass rusher goes over defensive line. But you guys start talking about the offense line, and I think the offensive line goes to the top above outside linebacker if Mankins and Light, you know, depending on their situation.
Well, that's a big if. Right. Yeah, you're right. If that becomes an urgent need if Mankins and Light don't come back. Urgent.
That supersedes everything. If Light doesn't come back, which at first I didn't think he would, but now I'm starting to think that maybe they have to keep him for another year.
Yeah. No, I think so too, and I think he showed that he's still got it. I mean, he is still the okay left tackle that we've known throughout the years. He hasn't, like, slipped off the slope, and I think he's got another year in him at this level. So I'm hoping he comes back, and obviously I'm hoping Mankins comes back. But like you said, if they don't, okay, now that goes right to the top of the list. You might even have to go into free agency. It's that urgent. Because even if you draft a couple guys, you know, you need immediate production. You cannot have a guy like Tom Brady in your backfield and not have a good line in front of him. It's just, that's a sin. That is a cardinal sin of football, to waste a quarterback without a good offensive line.
I don't know.
Yeah, they really do need to beef up both sides of the football. I mean, like in the trenches,
yeah.
You know, in the draft, and all people talking about taking a defensive end or maybe a free agent, you know, I definitely think that's a good idea. Same thing for the offensive line. They need to inject some talent into the middle of it,
yeah.
You know, get a little bit of that toughness, a little bit, you know, if they can get another, you know, another guy in the middle of the offensive line that has the Logan Mankin swagger, probably not as good,
mm-hmm.
But if he can just play, you know, at a big physical nature, we need that, because in the last three playoff exits, you know, that's where they're getting killed. Brady's taking hits, and the offense can't execute.
I'm all about this year, again, assuming that Light and Mankins come back, I'm all about this year building up the defense, and both through the draft and through free agency. The problem is Patriots in free agency for defensive players have not done well. I mean, they've got the guys like Gerard Warren who have come in and played well, but when you look at, you know, some of the – all the defensive backs that they've gone through, Derek Burgess, Adalis Thomas – you know, they just, for some reason, they haven't, you know, really been able to get a guy that, you know, becomes a really big part of the defense through free agency. I don't know why.
It's really too bad, too, because I think if you added what Adalis Thomas, what we all thought, what he was going to bring to the defense, you know, if he was on the team right now, I think we'd be looking at the defense a little bit differently.
Yeah.
You know, it's really too bad.
I mean, look at guys like Culpepper. What is that his name? The defensive lineman that they signed? What I keep forgetting his name. What the hell? The guy that they signed, they had a press conference for him.
Colvin?
No, not
Randy
Cohen. Not Randy Cohen. They signed him during training camp. He had his own press conference, and then he retired like a week later.
Stubblefield. Yeah.
You know, it's like they just don't. I don't know what it is with getting guys at free agency and defense with this team. I always get for some reason I want to keep calling him. Stubblefield. Anyway, but they haven't had a lot of success signing free agents on defense that have made serious impacts.
You're right. There have been a couple here and there, but Rodney Harrison. But
yeah, that was a good one.
But overall, your larger point, they've had countless cornerbacks that they've brought in. Very few of them have panned out.
Yeah.
You know, Eric Warfield and
even Lee Bodden. I think the jury's still out. We don't know.
Yeah, Lee Bodden was a pretty good signing. I mean, obviously they thought enough of him to re-sign him and keep him, but. You know,
I'm glad he's coming back next year because I'm excited to see. I'm hoping to see that Darius Butler, makes a step in the better direction. And I think that maybe with him and Arrington more in a slot position with Bodden and McCourty on the outside, I think that's a decent secondary.
Yeah. Well, I like I said, I'm all about building up that defense this offseason.
I am too. And I want to ask the question: do you guys think that with Bill Belichick coaching the Pro Bowl team? Do you think that maybe he has a, I don't know what the word would be, like the how to say it, but how he can maybe scout a player that could be a free agent that he could bring over?
Well, he's done it before.
He definitely uses it.
Like with Adalius Thomas, wasn't that kind of a similar situation?
He uses it as an opportunity, as a learning experience, like everything else with him. I think he's more trying to get to know people. When he's in those kinds of settings and he picks guys' brains and whatnot. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see a guy that he is coaching right now, maybe not right away this year because not a lot of those guys are just readily available when you're Pro Bowlers. But, a year or two from now and he says, yeah, I remember at the 2011 Pro Bowl, I sat down with him and blah, 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 blah. Now, some of those guys didn't work. I mean, he did do that, Derek, you're right, with Adalius Thomas. Well, obviously, that was a miss.
Yep.
But I think that he uses all of those kinds of things as opportunities to gather information.
Sure. All right, Derek.
All right, thanks, guys. Hope you enjoy lunch, and it's been a pleasure listening to you this year. So just keep up the great work.
All right, we will. Thank you. We're going to try anyway. Derek from University of Arizona.
You know, that whole thing that you talked about with that email, too, and Derek brought it up again, so it got back in my mind. It's so ridiculous about – Pittsburgh and, the direct comparison to Pittsburgh, I think, really has sort of rubbed me the wrong way. They fight for every yard and this and that. And that's a crock of crap,
Were they fighting for yards when they lost to us 45-28 or whatever it was?
I had a friend of mine who's from New York. He lives in New York. He's an enormous Boston fan. He's a Boston guy. He hates the Jets so much that he actually had an opportunity with his firm. He's a lawyer. He flew to Pittsburgh, Freddie, last week for the AFC Championship game, bought a Steelers hat, and wore Steelers gear in the stands to root against the Jets. That's how much he likes the Patriots and hates the Jets.
Yeah, that's something I would do. Yeah.
Taking the opportunity to sort of tweak people without them really knowing they're being tweaked.
Right.
People think he's a Pittsburgh guy.
Right.
And he's actually taking shots at Pittsburgh
right.
under the guise of
right.
they're my team.
Right.
Boy, I'm glad we didn't have to face the Patriots.
Right, right.
He's saying to Pittsburgh guys. And the guy goes, oh, absolutely. the guys that they're talking to, oh, we would have never beaten
right.
them.
Right.
So that's the team that you're emulating
right.
that feels like they dodged a bullet
right.
for not having to
it's
play
like
the Patriots.
It's like the year that the Patriots dodged a bullet not having to play the Broncos.
Exactly.
And what was that, 96?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And listen, I don't take anything away from Pittsburgh's success. I respect the Steelers organization, and I respect what they've done. But this will be their third time going to the Super Bowl, and all three times they didn't have to go through the New England. Now, that's not Pittsburgh's fault that
right.
they didn't have
right.
to play the Patriots.
Right.
But it's a fact.
Yeah.
And the Patriots twice beat Pittsburgh to get there.
Right.
you know, and once they beat Roethlisberger.
Paul's favorite emailer, Bill Berry, writes in, Fred, a fan who admires the Steelers, you believed it? Okay, maybe he's an actual bandwagon fan. You know, one in Pittsburgh who started following the team to upset his grammar school friends in 2001. Him getting off the bandwagon is no loss. In fact, I invite this gentleman to leave.
That's... I agree with Bill Berry. First time ever, buddy.
That's Bill Berry writing in. And Tim from Baltimore also writes in about the email. I don't understand why anybody would not want to root for this team. Why do you think, who do you think is the better role model, Brady or Roethlisberger? Who went 14-2 while starting seven rookies? Who went 6-1 against playoff teams after Baden, Falk, and Warren went down? Who has six picks in the next three rounds next year? If I were a fan of the Jets or Steelers, I would thank whatever pagan god they worship that the Pats went down this year because this was their last chance. Well, the Jets put them down, so...
And but most of that stuff, as a fan, I really don't care about.
Yeah, I don't care about the role model stuff.
And I don't care about next year and all that stuff either until next year comes.
Yep.
What I do care about is the fact that those teams went further than my team this year.
Matt from Glasgow writes in, hey, guys, love the show, never miss it. I have two questions. It's something we were just talking about. Do you think that Bill Belichick and the Patriots coaches could be scouting the guys at the Pro Bowl for weaknesses or strengths if they are happy with their teams? I think, like Paul said, it's more of getting to know guys. I don't think there's any, you know, playing scouting going on. The tape of how a guy plays in the Pro Bowl, you can throw that out the window. It has nothing to do with scouting. It's more, like Paul said, getting to know a guy as a person. You know, what does he say about football? When I asked him a question about, you know, running a power sweep or something, what does he say?
Exactly.
You
that's,
know,
that's exactly what Bill's doing. He's finding out how important football is to guys.
Right.
And what their football aptitude is.
Right. So, but it really nothing to do with it. So when you talk about weakness and strength, it could be mental weaknesses and strengths, but playing, forget about. And two, do you know of any good books about the Patriots' history? Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. Well, there's a great one called Patriots United about the Patriots' first Super Bowl. You want to get that one. That's a coffee table book. It's available in the Patriots Pro Shop. It's called Patriots United. There's some other good ones. Well, Felger has one, Patriots Stories. Paul, you have one, right?
Tales from the Patriots Sideline is Felger's
book. Oh, Tales from the Patriots.
If you're going to give the guy a plug, he can at least get the book right.
Tales from the Patriots Sidelines, which is more anecdotes that, you know. And then you were involved with one, right?
I wasn't involved in that.
Didn't
book.
You edit the Charlie Pierce book?
Oh, that's a Tom Brady book. That's not a Patriots history book.
Not a Patriots history book. Patriot Reign, about that one season by Michael Holley, that's sort of looked at as sort of the definitive inside access book, but it's just about one season. I know there was another book about the Patriots history, but it only went up to like the 90s, I think.
What about that Total Patriots book?
Yeah, I was just going to
mention Bob Heidelberg.
Yeah,
Bob Heidelberg's book, Total Patriots, but that's more of a stats book, but it's the encyclopedia.
That's anything.
Yeah, when it
that guy's bigger on Facebook than Kevin is.
Yeah, when it comes to like...
That's impressive.
Yeah. When it comes to the history of the records and facts about the Patriots, Total Patriots is the way to go. That's the one to get. But if you're looking for just an emotionally good book, Patriots United is the one you want to get. Everyone's laughing. No, it actually is a nice coffee table book. And if that first Super Bowl that the Patriots won was special to you, you want to get Patriots United. And like I said, it's available in the Patriots program.
Spirituality, faith, and democracy are the cornerstones of our country. We are all patriots. And tonight, the Patriots are world champions.
Right. And I think Total Patriots is also available in the Pro Shop, although I might be mistaken about that. But I know we were selling it at some point. So I hope I could help you there. Again, lunch today was made possible by Derek from University of Arizona. And we're going to take a quick break while I eat it.
Paul and Fred are really battling it out. But did he really just call his boss a liar?
You aren't just lying. You're slowing down the progress of all mankind. You douche.
I'm a douche.
Patriots.com radio.
This is weird, huh? Using the internet on an airplane?
Yeah, American Airlines did a good thing here, putting Wi-Fi on their flights.
You know, I actually had the idea a while back.
For Wi-Fi?
Yeah, but my idea wasn't called Wi-Fi.
Okay, what was it called, Brian?
It was called Bri-Fi.
Wow, that's very clever, Brian.
Yeah? Get it? Bri-Fi.
Unfortunately, I do.
Because I'm the Bri?
Wi-Fi. Now available on select flights. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Cell phones used to be just cell phones, but today, you can't live without them, like water or coffee. They're indispensable. Take AA.com Mobile from American Airlines. I can book a flight, switch seats, or change my itinerary, all while I'm in line at the coffee shop. It's a wonder I ever put this thing down.
Manage your flight from the palm of your hand with AA.com Mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Of course, when it's time to pick up my double foam mega mocha latte, sometimes I need a free hand.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. I forgot to mention another book that I just thought of. Michael King wrote a book called Patriots, I think, Patriots from the Beginning. It actually just came out about 6 months ago, and it's more of a trivia and fact book, but it's an interesting read.
What's the name? Michael King?
Michael King is the name of the writer.
Never heard of him.
He actually been in my office a few times. You might
What's
have
he
seen
done
him.
In there?
Oh. Steven's brother?
No. But I think it's called Patriots from the Beginning, and I think, again, it might be available in the Patriots Pro Shop. And if you're looking for, like, neat little facts that, you know, you can impress people with, you know, in the sports bar or the next time you've gathered with other Patriots fans, that's the book to get, because he has a unique insight into the stats and the facts. So Michael King, if you want to look that up.
Certainly a lot more Patriots books in the last 10 years than probably in the first 40 years of
their
existence.
Yeah, and a guy that you know, Bernie Corbett, is writing a book
On
the Patriots.
Wow.
He just finished a Giants book. He's a big Giants fan, but he's local, and he's
What is it about, Fred?
Right, Fred Bernie Corbett. But no, he's just finishing up a Patriots book, history type book. So, Bernie Corbett's written a lot of sports books. Paul, apparently we have a Barry Switzer fan, Yemi from Texas. He says, "I want to call out Paul for being a hypocrite. You criticize Fred for not giving Ditka credit for the Bears' success, but call Barry Switzer one of the worst coaches in NFL history. Switzer won 12 games in his first year, losing in the NFC Championship game. The next season, he won 12 and the Super Bowl. And by the way, that Hall of Fame talent on the Cowboys did not win many playoff games nor Super Bowls after the worst coach in the NFL left the team. Maybe you should look in the mirror to see your ridiculous argument that would be your first."
How many did they win before he got there? No further questions.
So, that's one person who wants to defend Barry Switzer. No, Barry Switzer was a moron, too. I'm not arguing with that. Cormac says, I just flew out of Boston last night. I was at my grandfather's funeral. Oh, sorry about that, Cormac. I missed the first 12 inches of snow by a few hours. Hope you guys made it okay. Sorry about that. I know Cormac has a
definite condolences,
grandfather,
Cormac,
right here in Foxborough. I'm reading the blog, and what do I see but a blog update written by Paul Perillo all about Pats in Hawaii. Wow, I declare, Fred actually sent him over there. Then beneath, in the small print, there's a by with some other guy's credit. Can you please ask Paul to explain the difference between written by and by? And if he has difficulty, he could ask Eric what by is all about. Actually, it's not Paul's fault. The way the blog works is as soon as when Paul logs in, he's under his name. So anything he posts is automatically going to be tagged as written by. But actually, Paul is doing the guy that's out there a favor by posting for him.
Yeah, I wrote a little explainer at the top because I'm sure that Cormac wasn't the only one that was sort of confused by that. Yeah, Matt Smith, as we mentioned, is out there. He's sending the stuff back to me. And actually, Fred posted it last night under my name. Why'd you do that?
I didn't do it. Chris did.
Oh.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I told him the credit Matt Smith. But
oh, it did. It said by Matt Smith on it. Oh,
okay. Let's see. Giovanni writes in, and he's got a poem. And Giovanni's from Chandler, Arizona. And I actually came in last show, but I didn't get the chance to read it. So I'll read it now while Paul eats. It says, here's a poem for you, the Jets, and all the other massholes New Englanders out there. Men of PFW, we can try to pretend, but sadly, my friends, our seasons do end. Rex Ryan wants wins as big as his chins, but can only have some, unlike Cromartie and kids. Talk is cheap like New York's pretense. Learn that you can't win games with only a defense. Everyone always says that Belichick's a cheat. At least he films signals and doesn't film feet. Thanks to the Steelers for beating the Jets' asses, next year we'll see more of Sanchez's bad passes. Win the final game, and then you can brag. It proves Belichick's a legend and Ryan's a jag. Time for me to go send the Jets a vulgar email about how you can't win when your QB's a female. Wow. Giovanni.
That's not bad.
Yeah, he's kind of like Shakespeare there. Ricardo in Somerville writes in, hey, guys, just wanted to let you know, at Real Troy Brown 80, which is actually Troy Brown, he tweeted this on Tuesday night, quote, and, oh, yeah, I do believe that Chad Johnson, a.k.a. Ocho Cinco, will be with the Patriots next season if there is a season. Also wanted your thoughts on a conspiracy theory that I thought of, although I probably wasn't the first one, that he changed his name back for a possible move to the Patriots. And P.S., I find it funny that just when Andy says he finally remembers to call him Chad Ocho Cinco, he changes his name back. Yeah, that's not the first time I've heard that he's changing his name back.
You threw it out there.
Right. I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, he's going to be a Patriot. First of all, he's under contract. So
it doesn't look like he's going anywhere
right
now.
But I would say that too.
Change.
Yeah,
things
I would
change.
Say that if I was the Bengals too, just to up his price. But I'll say this right now, just so that when I say it, if they sign him, that you know that I mean it. If they sign Ocho Cinco, I think it's a mistake. I don't want to sign him. I have no problem with him as a person or a player, but I just don't think he's the right fit for this team. Now, obviously, if they do sign him, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't want them to sign him. So I'm saying that right now.
That's fair.
You know?
Fair and balanced.
Plus,
very rare for you.
You know, I was listening today, and they were trying to say, okay, if you had to choose between Plaxico Burress and Ocho Cinco, who would you pick?
Ocho Cinco.
Well, they were saying that Ocho Cinco stretches the field. Is he the guy? And I'm just asking this. Does he stretch the field?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's not Randy Moss in that regard, but yeah.
He does? Okay.
He can.
Because I always looked at him as kind of over the middle, like a Keyshawn Johnson.
He can do anything. Oh, no.
No?
Keyshawn Johnson's a possession receiver.
Yeah.
Ocho Cinco's not.
So he's got the wheels to get behind
sure.
the
now,
coverage?
Whether or not he still has that, I mean, that's a different question. Do you know what I'm saying?
I mean,
he's a little bit older now.
Right.
Maybe he can't do that anymore. but
he's 33. He's not that old.
Yeah, well, that's pretty. That's getting old for a receiver.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'd want either of those guys, to be honest with you.
I want no part of Plaques.
Yeah.
I mean that's insane.
I guess he gets out in June.
Well, Drew Rosenhaus has said on Inside the NFL, the Showtime show,
yeah,
that he's not going to make any predictions on teams because that's almost impossible. But he guarantees that he will be playing and playing well in 2011.
Okay. Well, that's his agent, so.
Right.
Sean in Canada says, you guys are talking about Brady and Manning as the two elite quarterbacks, and it made me wonder, where does Favre rank? So let's look at Favre. You know, I think no matter what happens from this point on, when Manning and Brady retire, they will be considered two of the best to ever play in that elite category. Does Favre's legacy, all the things he's done, put him in that same category, Paul? What do you think?
It might have dropped him a little bit, the things that he's done recently. But I just don't think of Brett Favre the way I think of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And I know that he was great, and he wasn't just great for a year or two. He was great for an extended period of time in the 90s. But I think it's a different kind of great. I think I'll take Manning and Brady over those guys. But I think we were talking about the elite quarterbacks right now.
Right.
And certainly Favre is nowhere near that discussion, and now it actually looks like we may have finally closed the book on the Brett Favre era. But
yeah.
All time, I would say Brett Favre is probably knocking on the door of the top 10.
I was just going to say top 10. Yeah.
Whereas I think Manning and Brady could be top 5 guys when all is said and done.
Then I pull my penis out.
Jason is from Lafayette, Indiana. He says, wanted to weigh in on Fred's side of the Ditka argument from Tuesday, sort of. I don't go as far as Fred to say he's a clown, but I do think he's overrated. You other guys kept wanting to compare him to Bill. Well, Bill has won it 3 times. Ditka won 1 with a team that should have been the same kind of dynasty the Patriots have been. Trust me, I live in Indiana, and I hear a lot of Chicago sports stuff, and they worship the ground Ditka walks on in Chicago. I never understood this. If I were a Bears fan, I would be upset with Ditka that he let that fat tub of goo Perry score a touchdown in the Super Bowl and not Walter Payton. I know we tried, but come on. Everybody scored in that game. All right. Keep me informed on the Patriots offseason news, please. Living in Indiana as I do, I depend on you guys. F Fat Rex Ryan and F the Jets.
The Bears. The Bears.
That was the email that I was talking about earlier.
Oh, okay.
He actually agrees with Andy and I, sort of. You know, not you, sort of.
Right.
You call him a clown. He says he's not a clown. So he doesn't agree with you. None of us ever compared him to Belichick. And if the Chicago Bears were in the AFC in those days, they would have gone to the Super Bowl every year, just like the Patriots did here.
Strippers, again, chimes in with the correct book name of Michael King. It's called Patriots Passion from Day One. So I wasn't even close. Patriots Passion from Day One, available in the Patriots.com Pro Shop. This unique and one-of-a-kind publication covers a half century of the New England-Boston Patriots football history unlike any other book ever. Patriots Passion has over 1,000 anecdotes, facts, tidbits, and trivia of never-before-recalled Patriots moments, sure to be a hit of any football conversation and the desire for any Patriots fan.
It's great to have strippers as our official fact-checker.
You just picture them in, like, this basement with, like, computer screens everywhere and all these keyboards. And, like, you mention a word and he's got up there.
Like all these shows nowadays, they all have these guys. You know, PTI, the guy comes out at the end and he has the omissions and errors.
Yeah.
Strippers does that for us.
But one of my pet peeves on TV are these crime shows where the guy calls on the phone. It's like, you know, get me the name of everybody who bought a 35-millimeter thing, you know, with a license plate. And the girl's like, okay, I got it. You know, it's like, it doesn't happen that way. Oh, I can't stand that. What do you got there? Oh, chicken, buffalo chicken tenders. Nice. Let's see. Doc says he's got a Stevie H MP3. That's kind of long, but will give you time to eat. Is it good? Is what I'm asking.
It's kind of funny.
Okay, let's listen to it.
Comcast, what's that? Good afternoon.
Go, Pats.
Hello there, this is Barry Switzer.
Hello?
Forgive me, I have a voice box. I have a complaint to make.
Yes?
Am I speaking to the right person to make a complaint about programming?
You can count on us to follow the Patriots all...
Comcast Sportsnet, this is Barbara.
Go. Pass.
Hello?
Hello there.
Hello?
This is Barry Switzer. Forgive me, I have a voice box. I have a complaint to make.
Yes?
Am I speaking to the right person to make a complaint about programming?
Yes.
Have you ever seen PFW in progress?
I'm sorry, what show?
It's Patriots Football Weekly, airs Thursday between Quick Slants and New England Tailgate. There aren't too many shows I like. Let me see, I like the Antiques Roadshow, although it can get a little too exciting for me. I also enjoy Cat House and Foxy Boxing, although my nurse doesn't let me watch those shows anymore. I have difficulty controlling myself. Anyway, back to the topic of conversation. You keep changing the time of that PFW Weekly air.
Are you sure that you're calling the right network?
You keep changing the time of that PFW Weekly air. 1 o'clock. 3 o'clock. 27 o'clock. Half past Wednesday. I can't keep up. I'm in a wheelchair, you know.
I'm sorry, I don't think that I can help you.
So what are you gonna do about it? Can I speak to the CFO, please? The Chief Financial Officer. Okay, what about the Junior Vice President of Weekday Evening Sports Programming? Can I speak to a man? How are we gonna make this right?
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you need.
Put me through to Felger. He owes me $5 from a poker game.
I don't think you're calling the correct network.
What say you and me have a drink?
I can't help you.
You don't roll with brothers?
All right.
That's great stuff.
Stevie. But you know what? That woman, you know, I don't know who it is, but why couldn't she help him? She couldn't figure out what he was saying?
I don't think she did.
But she kept saying, you're on the wrong network.
Yeah.
He mentioned the words Felger. I mean, she doesn't know that a guy named Felger works there?
And I assume he called the right place.
Right. She said Comcast.
Yeah, but I mean,
you heard the hold music where it was Follow the Patriots all
right,
season long.
Right.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. I mean, so
that was brilliant by Stevie H.
Good stuff.
I like when he went into the shows that he likes, but his nurse doesn't let him watch
right,
it anymore.
Antique Roadshow. That's good. Good stuff. I wonder what she said when she hung up the phone.
Probably what I used to say at the Herald. What the F?
Dan in Washington, D.C., I have a theory that I want to test with you guys. Do you think the reason the Patriots haven't hoisted any Lombardi trophies lately is because all the Parcells guys are gone? The Parcells guys all came up huge in our three Super Bowl runs. For example, recall the play of, in no particular order, Brown, Brewski, McGinnis, Vinatieri, Law, Malloy, Bledsoe. The list goes on. The other thing that may support this theory is that the Parcells guys were universally extremely hard-nosed brass tacks guys, brass tacks type players. In other words, they weren't the guys in the PG-13 movie that everyone was really rooting for, but instead they were the guys in the rated R movie that you weren't really sure about.
Do
we have
questions.
Too many PG-13 guys on our team now?
Well, swingers. The Parcells thing is interesting, and it's not necessarily to be dismissed. There's a nucleus of those championship teams with the players that he mentioned that were here. You know, the Laws, the Malloys, the Brewskis, the Ted Johnsons, the Troy Browns. There's a lot of guys that were the absolute backbone of that team.
Yep.
Is it all about that? No.
Well, I think, guys were attitude.
It's an element.
Brady and Seymour and Vrabel. I mean, there were other guys, too, that came
on. Brady.
Right. They wouldn't have won if they didn't make all the additions.
Right.
But they also haven't won since those guys have
left.
Look,
I think just because Belichick and Parcells are so different in their personalities, don't think that they don't look for the same types of things in players.
Yeah, they're very similar.
Yeah, exactly. When Belichick came here, one of the first things he did is he brought guys in like Anthony Pleasant and the other down linemen,
Rick Lyle, Bobby Hamilton.
Bobby Hamilton.
Brian Cox.
These are the same guys that Parcells would have brought in if he had just come to the team. They have the same philosophy that I need my circle the wagon guys. I need guys that football is first for them, love the game, and will do whatever I ask them to do, run through the wall. There's no difference between Belichick and Parcells in that sense, and I would say a lot of other coaches too. You know, then it comes, you know, how well can they identify talent and all that stuff. But when you're talking about those Parcells types of guys, those are also Belichick types of guys too. They're very similar. They, you know, as much as they like to be different, you know, and I think Belichick would kind of cringe at people saying he's just like Parcells. When it comes to that type of stuff, they are all cut from the same cloth, you know. Belichick won't admit it, but he picked up a lot of stuff like that from Parcells.
And no disrespect.
And I'll tell you, another guy who I think, you know, I see a lot of Parcells in is Sean Payton. I think Sean Payton learned a lot from Parcells.
In Dallas.
Yeah, in Dallas.
Absolutely.
You know? And it's worked for him.
Sperano's trying to do the same thing. Now, it's not working as well for him. I do think that where you see Parcells with Sperano is the toughness that his team has.
Yeah.
You know, the last game of the year notwithstanding.
No,
when
they competed.
They rolled over.
Yeah.
They're a tough out.
Yeah.
If you're going to beat – they don't have a lot of talent.
Yep.
You know, they need to, not the least of which their problem is quarterback.
Right.
But they're a tough out. They make you earn it.
They sure are. And, you know, they had Mike Nolan as a defensive coordinator. I think that helped them this year. You were on them all the way through. You always thought that they were going to be tough no matter what. And you were right, except for that last game.
Well, yeah, and they gave up, you know, just like Buffalo had given
up.
You know, Buffalo had played most everybody tough, too, and they gave up at the end.
I think if you want to talk about things that hurt the Patriots going into the Jets game, I think it was those last games where they had to play Buffalo in Miami, and they weren't giving it their all, and they weren't playing in competitive games toward the end.
You could be right. Now, certainly – the Jets did the same thing. They played they played Buffalo, and there was no competitive nature to that game either. But I don't know. You might be right.
Yeah. Tracy in Vegas says, can you recommend a book about X's and O's? Pat Kerwin has a book, but I'm not a fan. I know the players and teams, and I understand what I see when I'm watching the game, but I'd like to find a kind of encyclopedia of the terms and plays. By the way, Patriots' reign was pretty good. Pat Kerwin's book is actually pretty good. I haven't read it myself, but I've talked to people who have. You know, if you're just looking for a book that kind of gives you a way to watch games from an X and O's perspective, his book is very good. He also has a website that he, you know, updates things on and adds to. So, like, if you buy the book, you know, you get, like, a password or something to the website. It's a pretty good – it's not about the Patriots, but it is how to watch the game. And I think it's called Take Your Eye Off the Ball. And the idea is don't always watch, you know, the ball, which is very hard to do. But Pat Kerwin's, he was a GM, former GM, and he knows a lot about the game. You may not agree with everything he says on Sirius because he has a show, but he knows, and it's a good book. Other than that, I'd like to find an encyclopedia of the terms and plays. I don't know.
You know what? We need to... And we do this once in a while, and I forget all the specific books. But we need to make put a request in with Bill, because he has that extensive library.
Yeah.
Which books that he would, which specific books he would deem most valuable for that?
Well,
kind of, just the pure X's and O's from a terms and strategy perspective.
Yeah.
Nuts and bolts football.
And I know that Bill's father actually wrote a book that still today
scouting book.
Yeah,
right?
It's the Elements of Scouting, I think, or something like that, and. people still say today it's one of the Bibles for scouts.
Yes, it is. It's very complex, though.
Yeah. So if you're looking for that type of book. But that's a good one. We should say, okay, Bill, if you were to recommend one book on the history of football, what would it be? If you were offensive, you know, philosophy, what would it be? And come up with the categories and have him give up his top 10 list.
Right.
You know? I think that would be really cool because I guess he has one of the most extensive football book libraries probably in the world. Todd says regarding that email, do you think this team is soft or do you think other teams think this team is soft? I think there is a perception that this team could finesse you and win in the regular season, but when the game plan goes down in the playoffs, there's no plan B. They can't win a nasty trench warfare game anymore. I think the last three playoff losses cut fans deep, remembering how we won titles. Completely true, or I'm not sure. That's Todd, Nova Scotia.
I think that's pretty accurate. I think they're deemed to be a finesse team right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of 2004 Indianapolis Colts in this team right now. And when things are going well offensively, they win.
Yeah.
Just like those Colts teams.
In the past, though, they have won. You know, when I say the past, the last 3 years, they have won games where they had to out-physical teams. You know, they stopped the run. Like when, you know, job number one was stopping the run of a tough team, they did it.
I think what he's talking about is a low-scoring defensive battle.
Oh, they can't win those now.
They can't win.
Can't win it now. No.
And they haven't won a game like that in a while.
Yeah. Derek writes in, this is the same Derek from University of Arizona. I bought The Education of a Coach by David Halberstam, which was excellent. And I received Total Patriots for Christmas, and it is a must-have for all Patriots fans, loaded with facts. Definitely a great read. So those are two other books. We should maybe have a book nook.
Should we
a
do
a show just about book reviews?
Yeah, I was going to ask if we should put some like low music in the back. Now it's time for the book review.
Right.
Here on NPR.
Brooklyn Matt says, hey, it's quarter after one. Where's my Paul Fred fight? You're behind schedule.
What do you want?
It always starts in the 5 minute window directly following quarter till the hour and goes until 1:30. Hey, you two, mix it up already. I want a really good one today. I want to hear both of your voices sound far away from the mics because you're rolling around on the floor with your lunches smeared over your blanks and stuff. I want to hear as little Doc has to race out of the control room to jump on top of the melee. You two are like old men today. I'm nodding off at the keyboard. Mix it up.
Wow. So they do want it, Fred.
See, but Brooklyn thinks it's made up. It's not. It just doesn't happen like on cue.
It's organic.
You know?
But that said, give us a topic.
You know?
I'm sure Fred will say something stupid in the next 10 minutes to get me going.
Let's see. Yemi from Texas again on the Switzer thing. Paul keeps bringing up the Cowboys' record before Switzer got there, but how does he explain the fact that they did not win many playoff games
after? Because the players that were on the team thought he was such a bad coach, they all left.
That 13 seasons of non-playoff win streak started while the three Hall of Famers were still there.
And everybody else left and jumped ship because he was a clown. Ken Norton, Deion Sanders, Charles Haley. Any of these guys ring a bell?
No, see, you're missing the whole point. I'm not disagreeing about Switzer.
The whole point is
Jerry
Mike
Jones
took over a team that went 6-10.
But as far as the Cowboys go, forget about the Bears for a second. The Cowboys didn't have any success after Switzer left because Jerry Jones refused to get another good coach. He wanted to do it all himself. And when Jimmy Johnson was there, Jimmy Johnson built a great team, and Jerry Jones wanted all the praise for himself, brought in a puppet
right.
like
and when
Switzer.
Jimmy Johnson's players were all gone, they
right,
didn't win.
Right, and Jerry Jones refused to hire a guy either with the personnel knowledge of Jimmy Johnson or the coaching ability
right.
of Tom Landry or Jimmy Johnson.
Right.
You know?
But don't tell me Barry Switzer was a good coach.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
That's
but,
all.
But I think what people are saying is if Barry Switzer wasn't good, then there's a chance that Ditka wasn't good
well,
either.
Well, I'm just going to go off you know, 121 career wins as opposed to what? 30?
Right.
I mean, why didn't if he was so good, why didn't anybody hire him?
Well, I think that he was an idiot.
You know?
Yeah.
Why were they so hell-bent on getting rid of him?
Sure.
Such an idiot.
Let's see. Eleanor writes in.
Eleanor.
Did you see the comments by Logan Mankins of the Boston Herald? Yeah, we just actually read them in the top of the show. She wants to know, is he on his way to Chicago? I'd hate to lose him in free agency. And P.S., did you think the hit by Julius Peppers on Aaron Rodgers warranted the fine he received today?
Yes.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, Peppers got a $10,000 fine.
Yeah, what did you think?
I think so.
I didn't think it was a cheap shot, but...
I don't understand why they can't lower their shoulder and hit him with their shoulder pads.
He broke the rule.
Right.
It was a helmet. It was a helmet hit, and yeah, 10,000 sounded about right. I read an item on Pro Football Talk that said he got off lightly. I disagree. It was a football play. It wasn't an intent to injure, kind of leaving your feet and, you know, trying to maim a guy. He was going after him, and he hit him helmet to helmet. That's a penalty and a fine, but it's not a $50,000 fine. Did you think? Did you think it was warranted? 10,000?
No. Yes, I do. Alex in Falmouth writes in. Thought I'd throw out a couple of things you might explore in the coming weeks as the season comes to an end. I have all confidence you can find plenty of interesting stuff to talk about between now and the start of the 2011 campaign. But just in case you want to discuss football, there's a shot.
I see.
Debate. Is Jim Caldwell a Super Bowl caliber coach for the Colts? He inherited a team and a system. Is he able to continue to develop both and keep them among the top NFL programs?
I don't believe
so. A lot of people think the Colts are on the way down.
Yeah, but they've been saying that for 5 years.
But, and, you know, as much as, you know, we don't...
I think as long as Polian still has his fastball, they ain't
going down.
Well,
that's the thing. You know, we want to make fun of Polian for crying about injuries this year, because he did. But they did have a lot of injuries, and they were focused on offense, which is the key of that team.
They were all over the place.
Well, but
they lost their linebacker. They had no linebackers to play the Patriots.
You know, so...
Pat Engerer was playing.
I want to believe that, you know, they're... The sun is setting on the Indianapolis Colts, but let's see next year when they get these guys back.
Yeah, it is setting because, let's face it, Peyton Manning's not getting any younger.
Well, then you can say the same thing about the Patriots.
Absolutely. You know? And I would say that.
But I think both guys have 3-4 good years left.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So I don't think that's setting yet.
Okay. All right. I'll go with that. Even that, you couldn't get me in an argument.
Damn it.
But Indianapolis is – I don't think that Jim Caldwell is a Super Bowl caliber coach. I think at some point, no matter how good you are, you need decisions to be made. And I'm not sure he's the guy based on what I've seen. I don't know him tremendously well. I know his track record is abysmal. He was a college coach and was terrible at Wake Forest as a head coach there. I guess he's pretty well thought of as an assistant. But personally, I think that – this is a guy that Bill Polian thinks he can control.
Right.
Much like Jerry Jones.
Yep. You read my mind.
And I think that that's the only reason why he's there. He's a figurehead.
Possible acquisition from the free agent market. Bleacher Report suggested a very interesting name, Mike Vrabel. What about bringing Mike back to close out his career here and add his knowledge and intensity to a young defense? No way.
I've been called, can you say on here?
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, he ain't coming back.
I don't think there's much chance of that happening, nor do I think at this point he would help much.
Yeah, he's...
It's 2 years after you already thought he was done.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Nathan writes in, last year after the decapitation from the Ravens in the postseason, Robert Kraft made a statement about how he never wanted to be embarrassed at home like that again in the playoffs. Has he made any statements or said anything about the Jets game? I don't think that was nearly the embarrassment that the Ravens was.
I haven't seen. I mean, obviously, a lot of disappointment around here.
Yeah.
And we had a chance because we had a longtime member of the organization, Jim Hausman, recently retired. We had
a nice
luncheon for him.
Yep.
The beginning of the week, and Mr. Kraft came over and sat at our table for a few minutes. Obvious disappointment over the way that the season ended. But I didn't hear any public.
No.
You know, declarations like last year after the Baltimore game.
Also, do you think that the Pats will make a move in free agency like they did in 07 after a disappointing playoff loss? I look forward to filling some of our deficiencies. I'm sure they'll do some stuff, and, you know, this whole CBA thing throws a wrench in everything.
That's the big X factor here. You know, it's like Mankin said in that piece from the Pro Bowl, you know, If there were a CBA in place, yeah, I'd be thinking about it a lot. And I'm sure there's a ton of players. Players don't even know if they're even if there's a CBA, if they're going to be a free agent. Because what is going to be the criteria?
Right.
You know, if there's no CBA and it ends up being some impasse ruling and they have to go under the existing rules, it stays 6 years.
Right.
There's a lot of guys out there in 4 and 5 that won't be. Now, Mankins won't be affected by that because he will be a 6-year guy. They don't know what a lot of the players don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
The team certainly don't know what's going to happen. That's a big monkey wrench in the whole thing.
But I think for fans who are worried that, oh, the Patriots aren't going to make any moves and they're not going to – don't worry about – look, Bill Belichick knows the weaknesses. He knows that his defense was not good enough. He knows he needs to upgrade it. Will they get the right people? I don't know. They've swung and missed, and they've got some good people. But there'll be moves. I promise you that there will be moves.
And don't forget, and I know people don't want to hear this, but don't forget the draft. Because I think we all look around and we say, oh, Lamar Woodley's available. This guy, that guy, Chad Ochocinco, and all these big-name guys. That hasn't really been the Patriots' way. And that hasn't been a lot of teams' way. You don't see Pittsburgh do that a lot. You don't see Indy do that a lot either. That's not how they choose to go about their business. They will. I'm sure the Patriots will sign free agents, but don't be disappointed if they're not
Julius Peppers.
Big time, right. Pro Bowl caliber players. They'll augment in free agency and they'll look to get, some special guys in the draft.
I hope
they develop.
They want another Richard Seymour. That's who they want to get, a guy like that. And then
you reach Richard Seymour.
But that's it. That's a good example. I mean, you went out and you signed Gerard Warren last year. That's not a knock your socks off signing. It's not a Lamar Woodley. But if you could have, let's just say for argument's sake, you could have signed a guy like that through free agency and drafted Clay Matthews, who, in the interest of all fairness here, we all didn't like. Andy and I didn't think that he was going to be the player that he has become. We missed on that one, okay? But let's just say
you hadn't talked to his doctor.
He kind of looked at me bad at the combine.
You didn't like his composure.
The criteria for Eric. But if you got an impact guy like that in the draft, and then you have these solid veteran-type free agent additions, well, that's a pretty good offseason.
Yep.
Do you know what I'm saying? That's what I think the Patriots try to do. I think they look to hit big with the development guy rather than spend big resources on a guy who, let's face it, free agency, the track record in the NFL, is hit or miss. It's a 50-50 shot.
Speaking of resources, Shaughnessy had an article last Sunday, I guess, saying the Patriots were like last in the league.
Third from the bottom. It was an error in Forbes magazine, of all places, by the way. A pretty good... pretty good resource for that stuff. They got incorrect figures, and I guess a lot of people were mentioning that on the air, it was wrong.
Well, the thing is, it's so complicated. There's like,
especially in a year like this.
Yeah, there's three other lists, and depending on which list you go by, the Patriots are either 2, 9, or 12. But I guess from what I heard, the cash committed list, the actual cash that you have committed in a given year, whether it's base salary, bonuses, all that stuff, cash committed. And I think that includes, bonuses likely to be
earned.
That's
why the Patriots was so high this year. But
right.
that's not like salary cap.
It's it's different. It's very complicated.
It was my understanding that there would be no match.
Yeah, the Patriots were in the top half of the league and probably the top 10.
But I have a problem when any newspaper – does an error like that. And maybe it wasn't Shaughnessy's fault. He should have cited his source, and that would have gotten him off the hook. But the error is made in a certain section of the newspaper, in this case where the NFL notes were, and then the correction is made in a totally different section, like in this case, A2.
Oh,
now,
really?
Yeah. Now, if you're a sports fan,
I never
you're probably
saw the
not
correction.
Ever going to see that correction.
Never saw the correction.
The correction should be in the place where the mistake was made, in my opinion.
I totally agree.
And maybe if you have one area where all the corrections are listed, fine. Do that as well. But I think that, in the service to the reader, if I read a mistake in a certain area, I should read the correction in that same area.
I agree.
That's just an overall thing. Mike in Florida is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah, good. All right. Thanks for calling. No, I'm only kidding.
I just want to cover two things. One, I'm not really trying to talk about the draft too far in advance, but I think that the pass rush is one concern. But I haven't really looked at the prospects. The running back, I think that's something we need, because if we get a premier running back, we can deal with drafting a wide receiver later in the rounds, because if you looked at the days of Corey Dillon, you know, when they had that play action, it was made very more efficient of the offense.
Yeah, no,
so I don't know how you guys feel about
it. I agree. I think they need an upgrade at running back. I'm not sure how high I would take one, but I would be surprised. I mentioned this earlier that with six picks in the top three round, in the top three rounds, top 100, I'd be very surprised if they didn't use one on a running back. And I'd also be surprised, Freddie, if they didn't go out and pick up a veteran somewhere along the line, some versatile guy that they think can catch the ball out of the backfield, can block, can run between the tackles, maybe a Pierre Thomas type. I don't know. He might be a little long in the tooth and banged up at this point, but Clinton Portis, a guy like that, I think, is a versatile guy.
Yep.
Something like that. Don't necessarily need Adrian Peterson in here, but I agree with Mike. They need an upgrade at running back. More of a legitimate running threat to keep defenses honest.
Yep. Someone we thought Maroney was.
Yeah, I think Bill may be hesitant of doing that via Lawrence Maroney because of that reason in the first round. But Ben Josephine Ellis is a reasonable back, but I don't think that he's, by any chance, what people say, a 1-2 punch with him and Danny Woodhead. I think we need somebody in there to do a home run hit and be in there every down. Woodhead can't do that. He has the breakaway speed, but I don't think he could be an every down back.
I don't even think Woodhead has the breakaway speed, to be honest with you. I think he's quick and fast, but not that fast.
Yeah, and I agree. He can't be an every down guy. And you saw 14 carries against the Jets in that playoff game with very little production. That's too much for him, I think.
Yeah.
One more comment. I don't know how you guys are talking about the line a lot. I don't know how you feel. I've been watching. I'm in Florida. I have Sunday tickets, so I watch basically every game that the Patriots played. I'm not too confident with Dan Copen.
Yeah.
He's got beat a lot on the inside.
I don't think Dan had a great year, and I think he'd be the first to tell you that. I agree with you on that. I think he's been banged up. I think he's not the biggest guy in the world, and he's not blessed with the most athleticism. And I think he's been banged up over the years, and you're starting to see a little wear and tear on him a little bit. I think this is an interesting time in his career. Maybe he might have to do something, with his contract to stay. But I agree with you. If there wasn't so much pending uncertainty with Mankins and Light, I think that a lot of people would be talking about Copen. If those two guys were locked up, I think people would be wondering if Copen's days were numbered.
Well, I feel that we should take maybe not, a premier talent center in the first two rounds or so, but get one of those people that we can maybe throw in there next year.
Yeah, Andy talked about those on Tuesday. There's a couple of centers that first/second round
Mike
guys.
Pouncey's like
brother, yeah, is not considered to be as good as Marquise.
Well, they're twins, right?
Yeah.
And he stayed in for an extra year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just would feel that most of the sacks, most of the pressure came from the middle, but they're blitzing down the middle, but I feel like even the one-on-ones he was handling,
I don't think he had a great year, and I like Dan a lot, and I think he'd be the first guy to admit it. I think he struggled a little bit this year.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
thanks a lot for the call.
No problem.
Larry writes in, and he says he seems to remember that when Bill's dad passed away, Bill Belichick's dad passed away, that he donated all his books to Navy. In his dad's name.
He donated a lot of them. Yes, he did. He donated a large portion. I think those were Steve's, though, weren't they? Were those Steve's books that he donated?
Well, Steve Belichick is his dad.
No, but they weren't Bill's.
Oh, really?
Because we were talking about Bill's library.
Yeah.
He didn't donate all of those, did he?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe he did. Maybe he did.
I don't know.
I do remember the story. He's right. The email is right. Absolutely.
Okay.
I remember Bill made a big donation to...
Well, he still remembers them, so our article still works.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we can still ask him about the books.
It's cute, though, that you actually think that he's going to answer that for us.
I think he would. That's the kind of thing he would be interested in helping us with. Bill in either South Dakota or San Diego. I'm not sure which one. He says, started listening to you guys off-season, was never able to listen to you live because of school here in San Diego, okay? But I stayed home today because I've been fighting off a bad cold and I just couldn't go in.
I thought it was snowing.
Yeah. So I thought I'd write in. The other day I saw an interview with Herschel Walker about his MMA future. Did you know he fights MMA?
He's got a fight coming up.
And he said he was considering an NFL return. He said that he guarantees they would help out a team. I have to ask, do you want him? I thought it was ridiculous when he started fighting MMA, and I can't believe he wants to come back to the NFL. Maybe he and Brett Favre can come back on the same team. They can even share a walker. That's it for me. Love the show. Keep up the good work. How old is
50.
Yeah.
Yeah. He decided he doesn't really want to come back. That was a publicity stunt to try to drum up some attention from his MMA fight.
Oh, okay.
I was reading on Florio today, which is always good to do right before the show.
Yeah.
Because things like
show
that.
Show prep.
Things like that pop into your head. Yeah. I guess he did a radio interview, and he was pressed on that, and he said, well, you know, I don't really have any intentions of coming back and playing, but, you know, he just kind of wanted to put it out there that he thought he could play. He thought he could still do
like
it.
Like Jim Brown.
Doesn't want to do it, but he thought he could do it.
Remember Jim Brown was willing to take on anyone in a 40-yard dash?
Yeah. It was like 51. Yeah. He legitimately tried to come back, though, didn't he?
Yeah, I think
with
so.
With the Raiders?
Yeah.
He's a weird guy.
He is. He ended his career too soon, but his mind wasn't in it anymore, so he probably should have ended
his career. Wanted to be a movie star too.
Yeah,
right?
He was trying to be.
I mean, I know he was in movies, but I think
he had visions
of being some acclaimed actor.
He was in quite a few films, none of them any that good, but he was. Keith writes in, I was looking at the draft and free agents, and it got me thinking about the receiver position. If the Patriots decide to bring in a deep threat receiver who gets released, Welker, Tate, Edelman, Branch, or will Belichick free up space at an overcrowded position like running back to make room for one or two receivers? I don't know. I mean, of those that you mentioned, I think Branch might get released.
I mean, if one of those guys were to have to go, I would think that Price and Tate are too young. I know Karen Garigian from the Herald sort of speculated that maybe Edelman would go. I don't see that happening. I think he's too young and potential filled. I think that he's their apparent for Welker. I don't know how you feel about that. But I think if you can't get something done with Welker this offseason, and this is his last year, don't you just sit there and say, well, we'll plug Edelman into that spot? And maybe it won't be quite as good, but
right.
He's a guy who's going to have, at that point, he'll have 3 years in the system. He knows how to play that slot receiver.
Yeah, we'll have an ordinary slot receiver like most other teams.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they would get rid of. I think if they got rid of any of them, it would be Branch. But I don't necessarily think you'd have to get rid of any of them.
Also, what do you have against Plaxico coming to New England? He's big, athletic, which is what I think we're missing in the playoffs game against the Jets. You can't expect to win playoff games with a bunch of slot receivers that can't get separation. I also feel if we bring in Chad Johnson, it would be because of his ability to run routes precisely and his athletic ability.
Yeah, well, Plex has, first of all, he'll be out of the league for 2.5 years. And when he last played, he was on the decline. His yards per catch was, people in New York were all over him because his explosiveness was gone. His athleticism had seemed to be gone. His yards per catch had decreased in, like, I think the last couple of seasons with the Giants. Don't hold me to that, but I think it was like the last 2, 3, or 4 years, his average per catch had gone down each time. And now it's 2.5 years since he played. And oh, by the way, he's a jerk. So thanks, but no thanks. If I want to take a jerk on my team, he better be at the top of his game. And Plaxico Burress isn't.
Right. Sam in Chicago, thanks for taking the sled dogs out today for a nice, calm, friendly, non-5-hour energy Andy tour. You know, I think Andy's energy kicks off the argument, but then he usually sits them out as you two go at it.
Because as Fred would say, he's a
pussy. I want to briefly comment about the Dan Shaughnessy article in the Globe about the AFC playoff game. Of course, I agreed with Dan that it would be great if the Patriots had been playing last Sunday, but I don't think the Patriots had the horses that the two teams he was poo-pooing have. The Jets and the Steelers both have a defense that are an iron curtain when they come together, and the Jets also have some great receivers that can make Sanchez look half-decent. I hope the draft rectifies whatever it is that's keeping them from a deep playoff run, and I wouldn't trade the Patriots' 2010 season with any team except perhaps Green Bay or the Steelers. Thanks for holding the fort down, and P.S., if James Harrison was available, would you trade your first rounder for him this year? That's a good question.
I would trade a first rounder for James Harrison.
You would?
Yeah. I mean, it's hypothetical of the highest order. He's not available, but yeah, I would. Would you?
I would have to consider that. Yeah. I'd have to consider
now, that. Now, it's going to create all kinds of different questions for Belichick because he is small. I mean, he is not up to Belichick's standards for that position. He's small.
Yeah.
So you'd have to ask him to do some things differently than what Bill normally does. But I just think he's too dynamic of a playmaker to pass up.
No, he's definitely somebody that another team has to worry about on every play. John in South Carolina, do you think our current offense as it stands is good enough to win a Super Bowl if our defense was as strong as it was in the early 2000s?
Yes.
We keep looking at offensive weapons. I wonder if we need to consider our offensive skill positions filled and focused on defense and offensive line.
Well, that's Fred's point. Yeah. He wants to take care of the defense first and foremost.
Offensive line only because I think two will retire this coming year. We talked about that earlier in the show. If we did that, I think the one trip up could be running back. What do you think? And my wife has taken me off suicide watch and willingly put on one of my old jerseys to help raise my spirits.
Hello!
That's nice to hear. I'm glad we didn't lose anybody.
No, I think we're all agreed that if there's an opportunity to upgrade that running back spot, we should take it. I don't think that it should be the first round pick or the first pick of the first round.
Yeah, I don't either.
But second, third round, yeah. If there's a guy that you know, they think can help, let's get him.
Yeah, now the offense, the argument for people that want to fix these weapons on offense is, yes, it was very successful, but do you run the risk of when you don't have the varied ways to get it done, you don't have a dynamic running game, you don't have a dynamic deep threat. Can a defense, and we saw two teams with two good cornerbacks do it, Green Bay and the Jets. Late in the season. So is that the formula? If you have two good cover corners, can you really slow this defense down a little bit? I mean, slow this offense down a little bit. And that's, I think, what people that want to address the skill positions, that's what they're looking at.
Keith wants to know if we would what draft pick we would use to get Steven Jackson from the Rams. I would give a second for him.
Sure. I would. Yeah. I mean, are these guys like on the block?
No, like but, what? You know, that's sports radio talk, you know.
But like Chad Ochocinco, there's some question there. I mean, whether or not he's going to be back in Cincinnati. These other guys that I don't know about.
Right, but it's good to just talk about it just to see what value you give these guys. I'd give them
with
a second.
With very few exceptions, I would give the draft pick for an established star.
Yep.
You know,
a lot of people.
You're not going to get a player of Steven Jackson's caliber, more than likely, if you spend it on a first round pick.
And you're not going to running backs at different positions. Sometimes they do come right in and play well, but no matter what, you usually don't get the guy to play as well as the established guy right off the bat. So if you think you're close, you know, to winning a Super Bowl, you should go for the established guy. You know,
I just don't think that you have much of a chance of getting a guy that good in the draft,
right?
Regardless of what position you pick,
I give a second for him. Let's see, 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Anthony from Naples is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Anthony.
It's probably upper 20s.
It's warming up now, but
we got 3 feet of snow.
We got another big snowstorm.
God, when it rains, it pours, or when it snows, I guess
so,
right?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I feel like every day I check Facebook, and everybody's complaining about snow.
Yep.
It's
the only
know.
Time he calls, too, Fred, just to gloat to you. Last time when it was just you and me, he was calling about the weather down there.
That's right.
Yeah, no, it's nice down here. Well, you know. It's like 70, probably 75.
That's
a little
nice.
A little chilly in the shade.
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, I literally had to, with all my might, push open my back door today because the snow was piled up that high.
Really?
Just you clean to get off out. Your deck all the time?
Yeah, I do. Just because the dogs go out that way.
Yeah, my father's giving me a hard time about all the snow on my deck.
You got to clean the deck, Paul.
Yeah. See, I'm good with
Too
that.
Too late now.
I don't think I'll ever go back up to the Northeast, honestly.
You know, we're adults. I don't know why we choose to live here. We can go anywhere we want.
But that's what I tell people. I'm like, it's your choice. Why do you stay up there?
Right.
I don't understand it.
Although the only thing I don't like about Florida, because I've lived in Florida too, is the bugs.
No,
you guys,
it, honestly, Fred.
Oh,
no.
What? I've fallen into a red ant hill, and believe me, that's not fun. Those fire ants.
Falling. I don't know what to tell you.
And then you got those palmetto bugs that like are cockroaches, but they're the size of you know my hand. You got some big ass bugs down there, and some nasty bugs. You
Fred,
know.
Let me tell you something. I've never had a problem with bugs down here, and we're right next to the Everglades too. They must just like spray properly around here. You know, because, you know, it's pretty big business. You know, when they spray for bugs here, they
so you
spray
have tons of gators around, huh?
What's that?
You have tons of gators around, though, huh? If you're right near the Everglades?
You barely see the gators. Yeah, I don't go swimming in
it. Until they bite your foot off.
Yeah, even if there wasn't gators, I wouldn't go swimming in the ponds that they swim in because it's just, like, gross. I just wouldn't do it. But, you don't have to worry about them much.
But, you know, like I go by houses in Florida, and the outdoor pools, they've got this, like,
screen
over and around it so that the animals don't get in there at night.
That's part of the reason. Right?
Yeah.
Well, no, it's just like, hey, guys, I live here all the time. I'm trying to tell you. It's not. That's your negative to try to stay away from Florida. That's how you make
I don't stay. My parents have a house down there. I go down there all the time.
Yeah, but I think you're in the Orlando area, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I lived in Orlando for 2 years. It stunk. I hate it.
See, I love it.
Really?
I
hated it because it was too hot. I felt like because you're in the middle of the state, and it's just like that oppressive type heat, and it's just there's no breeze like there is off the ocean here. You know, like honestly, like I love this area. Like I would have moved back to Massachusetts if that was my only, you know, impression of Florida. You know, was the Orlando area.
Yeah.
But like Naples, like on the west coast, it's beautiful because you got the white sand, and you know, it's actually calm the ocean here because you're in the Gulf.
Right.
That's why I love it here.
And all the oil you can scoop up. That's good.
Oh, what? I didn't even see any oil. Really did.
He's getting very
honestly
defensive, Fred.
I do go through moments where it's just like I realize that when I see like a 50-year-old woman here in Marco, I'm like, oh, she's fairly young. You know? It's
right.
Like that's how old it is here. It's
right.
Like, it's a little depressing at times, you know? But, you know, that's why you go over to Miami.
Yeah.
What's that?
Marco.
But anyways, I was calling to defend you, Fred.
Okay.
Because I think Paul, like, got on you a little bit for
today.
The Richard Seymour trade.
Today?
In, well, what's that?
We haven't talked about Richard Seymour at all.
Yeah, you did.
I mentioned
today?
It once, but we didn't argue about it.
I didn't, well,
I never even mentioned him.
Well, you guys argue so much, I don't think you even realize when it's a little, like, you know, a little banter back and forth. You don't even think anything of it. Because, I think Paul basically said, well, why did you trade away Richard Seymour and get the first round pick, you know, if you're going to go and address that
position? I absolutely never said this.
Yeah, you
did. I didn't say this. I want someone to show me when I said that.
You said that on Tuesday. Look it up. Wait,
Andy said it on Tuesday. Listen. And that was Andy's big thing, not mine.
Big thing? I thought you agreed with him. Either which way, somebody said
no.
It. Excuse me. I'm sorry, Paul. I misspoke.
Well, you're saying that we had an argument about something. I wasn't even involved in it.
I could have not a full blown argument, but it was a disagreement.
Don't like me. Don't lie. You're looking. You're always out to get me. Anthony's always out to get me.
I feel like
ever since I found out he wasn't Italian, he doesn't like me.
No, that's not true. Actually, Paul, I agree with everything that. As in your philosophy of watching sports and just like your fandom, I am the exact same way. I really am. I actually hate
and
going
believe
to
me, there is a philosophy. It's like a whole book.
I could write a book.
Right.
I know. See, now last night, Fred, at the Bruins game, I didn't really care about the game, so I was drinking.
Right.
You know, I hate to say it, but like I hate going to the NFL like sporting event because it's just, you know, you get too many knuckleheads and drunk people there. It takes away from the experience.
Well,
I totally agree with you, Paul. You know, it's just like I'm so emotionally invested that I feel like I would fight everybody that just looks at me wrong, you know. But anyways, the greater point of this was that, you know, honestly, I think the problems that we have on defense would be solved greatly with a great defensive line moves, as in we need to get somebody to replace that Richard Seymour-type player. You know, it's needed. I think when they tune in on Vince Wilfork, all of a sudden that – everything kind of, not collapses, but it just doesn't look the same. I think you need those other two guys there helping him out in the trenches.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, yeah. I like, because like I finally calmed down after the loss, where it's like I was really emotional about it. I wanted to blow up the whole thing. I was enraged with the defense because to me they didn't make those key stops. You know, and like everybody was complaining about the lack of passion. You know, have the Rodney Harrison, and I think those guys are there. They just, you know, they need to earn their stripes, as per se. You know, because I think Chung would be that guy. You know, I can see him kind of bringing that swagger and making those hits. And the same thing with Spikes. I think Mayo is what he is. He's a tackle machine. I'm a little disappointed. If he was in the end of the first round, I'd be fine. You know, but I just expected a little bit more out of a top 10 pick. That's really my gripe with him. You know, but hopefully.
Yeah, that's how we've talked about him. You know, look, he's not the problem by any means. They have a lot of bigger holes to fill than an inside linebacker at his spot. But I understand what your larger point is. And I agree with you about Seymour. I mean, I understand the trade, but they have not adequately replaced him. And yeah. I think that's a hole.
Well,
that spot is a hole.
This is the year, and I know you don't like doing this, like when you get a first-round pick, what did that pick become? But this is the year where we'll see what that trade, you know, becomes.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be huge. They need that guy. They need somebody like him, you know, a younger guy. And what's cool about it, though, on a positive note, if he's a rookie, he could still make an impact on the defensive line. So we got to look at it positively like that.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll get a good player because Bill almost never misses on first-round picks. I mean, his track record is very good.
God, how cool would it be if he traded those two second-rounders and moved up and, like, got another first-rounder? I don't know, but I doubt that's going to happen. You never know. But
you know.
How about Holly? How do you guys feel about Holly?
Michael Holly?
Michael?
No, not Michael. Holly, or however you say his name from Kansas City.
Oh, Tamba Ali.
Bahali. Yeah,
Tamba
like
Ali, a very good player. I can't imagine Kansas City's going to let him go, though.
Really?
Just can't imagine it. But, yeah, very good, solid player. Obviously has proven that he can play in various fronts. Because there's a lot of similarities there with Romeo this year. He had a big season. He's one of those guys that has shown the ability to get to the passer, even as, you know, one of those two-gapping techniques. He should be, depending on what happens with the CBA, yeah.
Okay.
I just can't imagine Kansas City is going to let him go. I would be surprised because he's a cornerstone player for them. And much like I don't see the Patriots just letting guys walk, when they get to that, you know, they franchise them, will do something. I think that Kansas City will do something with Tom.
They will. Else, though, that's a free agent that might be more of a priority?
For Kansas City?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have guys that are going to be free agents, but I can't imagine anybody of higher caliber than him.
Really?
By no means am I an expert on Kansas City's pending free agents.
Yeah. All right, guys, I don't want to get blown up.
Okay, Anthony.
My welcome.
All right, stop yelling at me.
Thanks for the call.
Bye. See you, Anthony.
Andrew in the Ukraine says, what do you think is the chance that someone legitimate, like Mark Cuban, tries to put together a league and undercut the NFL's offer to the players' union? Cuban loaned money for the UFL.
Yeah, they owe him $5 million.
Yeah,
or
so I don't think he's wants to dip his foot in the water again with football. But I don't know. It'd be so expensive. You just can't start a league. You know, you're talking about billions of dollars. William Berry just says that Paul just had an argument with somebody about not having an argument.
This is what happens. I give him one compliment, and he returns back to his normal self.
Right.
As the worst emailer ever.
Jim in Detroit, I have a couple questions as the season draws to a close. My first one is in regards to Jermaine Cunningham. Where would you place him on the average NFL team's depth chart? Do you see him as a solid backup or a 10-year starter in a Patriots uniform? Also, several of the ESPN First Take cast expressed that Chad Ochocinco, soon to be Chad Johnson, would be a great pickup in New England. I know Andy said he'd do it, but I don't remember what the rest of Team PFW said. I think we could get a solid 2 years from him. Great hands, great route runner, can stretch the field.
I would do it. Fred wouldn't.
I would not do it, just because of that whole chemistry thing. And I heard somebody saying on the radio today, I absolutely agree with it, Bill Belichick absolutely likes the guy. But I think he's glad he doesn't have him on his team. You know, and I think that's what happened at the end with Randy Moss. Is I think Belichick still likes Randy Moss. I don't think there's any animosity there. But it got to the point where I got 52 other guys I got to worry about, and he's taken up too much of my attention. And, you know, it's time to go. And that's what I worry about with Chad. Yeah. Now, maybe he'd come here and he'd be a changed guy. Maybe this whole changing his name back to Johnson is the first sign
that
of...
that has nothing to do
well,
with
why
anything.
Did he do it then?
Because maybe he just decided he's going to do it. Why did he do it in the first place?
For notoriety. He thought it was cool. Flair. Showmanship.
It's not any attempt to try to be more serious. He's tweeting more than ever.
But why did he do that?
I have no idea. I have no idea why he did it in the first place. And neither do you.
I think that, you know, he's a showboat.
So maybe he thinks it's cool. He's going to change it back. Well, look at Wild Crazy Ocho Cinco. He's going to change his name back.
You know, a lot of people have speculated that he did it to show that he's trying to get serious again.
Right. And that's why he is continuing to do his off-field
stuff. He's probably
stuff.
Under contract for that, and he's got to wait till the contract.
To tweet?
No, for the show.
To say he's going to open a can of whoop-ass on his coach?
Well, you can tweet now. I'm not worried about right now tweeting. That's okay.
You're another one. You make fun of everybody's rules, but yours change daily.
No, I just think that, you know, when you're playing, you limit the distractions. You know,
and your last name is a distraction.
Well, okay. I think to him it's symbolism. I think right now it's symbolic of maybe a change in his attitude. There's got to be a reason he did this, and I don't know what it
What's
is.
What's the reason he calls himself Pepe?
I don't know.
So why does there have to be a reason?
I think there is a reason why he first changed it to Ocho Cinco, and I think there's a reason why he's changing it back in his mind. There's got to be a reason, Paul. It doesn't just do it.
I know, but I don't think it means anything to the NFL.
I think it's symbolic.
It means something to him.
It's symbolic. And I think, you know, a lot of people are agreeing with me that this might be, you know...
I don't doubt that a lot of people think it. I just think it's garbage.
Okay, well, we need only Ocho Cinco could answer that, and we have him on the phone. No, I'm only kidding. That would be a great meeting, huh?
It's funny.
That's how they do it on real radio.
When I was walking down here, I knew you were already here, and I was walking by the locker room, and I was like, wouldn't it be funny if Bill just popped out, and I would say, hey, Bill, why don't you join us on PFW in Progress? Fred, big guest today. I was like walking in.
That would be something.
Yeah, it didn't happen. He didn't pop out of the locker room.
Ed says Richard Seymour is an unrestricted free agent, and I was wondering if we should make an effort to re-sign him. We get Oakland's first-round pick and Richard Seymour. I don't think he is. I think they re-upped with him, Oakland did.
I thought
during the season them re-upping with Seymour, but I could be wrong.
I thought he was available, but yeah, I could be wrong, too.
Okay. Sorry no, I don't. Again, I
would take him back, yeah. Absolutely.
You would take him back?
In a heartbeat. If you can get a contract done with him, absolutely. Do I think it will happen? Absolutely not.
Stripper says fun facts about the Miami Dolphins.
Fun facts!
About the Miami Dolphins' new hires. Fact is quarterback coach Carl Durrell has never been a quarterback coach before on any level.
He's a wide receiver at UCLA.
Fact is running back coach Jeff Nixon has never been a running backs coach in the NFL. Fact is tight end coach Dan Campbell has never been a position coach at any level before.
At least he was a tight end.
Fact is wide receivers coach Steve Bush has never filled that job at any level. And fact is wide receiver assistant Ike Hilliard has never coached in the NFL at all. Wow. And that's from the Miami Herald.
Mm-hmm.
So
an inexperienced staff, to say the least, Freddie.
Yes. With a guy who's on a perpetual hot seat.
And they're done anyway now because of what they did to him.
Yeah.
Players know that he doesn't have any authority.
Let's see, Steve from Toronto. Here are four real moves that after the first one are possible. You sign Asamoah as a free agent.
Okay, well, already you're done.
And then you pick Akeem Ayers, outside linebacker from UCLA with the 17th pick.
I like him.
Cameron Jordan with the 28th pick, a defensive end out of California. And yep. Justin Houston with the 33rd pick, another outside linebacker out of Georgia. That will help fix the defense.
I mean, I like the positions.
Yeah. I mean, and again, he prefaces it by saying you shore up that cornerback position by getting Asamoah, and now you got to shut down defensive backfield.
Listen, I like that idea, but I think that you are going to be fine in the secondary with Bodden and McCourty and the combination of Arrington, Butler, and Wilhite as potential guys in the slot with your three-man rotation, or it could even be four-man, depending on what happens with Brandon McGowan, of Merriweather, Sanders, and Chung. And if you get McGowan back, that's four, because Page is a free agent. You're probably going to lose him and replace him with McGowan.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that secondary. You don't need Asamoah. You don't need to spend $50 million on him.
But...
And you ain't gonna, so forget it. And that's not the kind of signing they make.
Mike in Rhode Island, I can't substantiate this, but I always assumed that the reason Ocho Cinco called himself Pepe started when he had a bleach blonde mohawk, making him resemble the cartoon character skunk Pepe Le Pew.
Maybe.
Could be.
I'm not going to attempt to get inside that psycho's head.
He's not a psycho.
He's psychotic. Come on.
And you take him on your team?
Sure. He plays hard. On the field, he does all the right things. Well,
he does.
Most of that Twitter.
Let me rephrase that. Most of the right things. There have been times where I think that he has been somewhat disruptive, you know, kind of like in halftime of a playoff game that he may or may not have punched out his coach or got punched out by his coach.
Zach says, we can't just draft a pass rusher. We need to draft three down defensive players, not just specialists. Three down, he means, not third
no,
down.
No, I know what he meant.
All of the guys you mentioned, Vrabel.
I don't want to draft. First of all, a pass rusher isn't a specialist. I want an outside linebacker who doesn't just rush the passer.
All of the guys you mentioned, Vrabel, Brewski, Seymour, McGinnis, Coven, were three down defensive players. Guys
absolutely.
Who could pressure the passer and diagnose and stop the run.
Why can't I draft that?
Vince Wilfork and Ty Warren are those guys now. But no one at the outside linebacker position fills those requirements. We're hoping
that's why I want one.
We're hoping Jermaine Cunningham becomes that, and he showed some promise as a rookie, but he's nowhere near what we need yet. So when we draft players this year, they need to be able to do both. With two firsts and that 33rd pick, we should be able to find those players, and I emphasize the plural here because we need at least one defensive end and one outside linebacker. Dead last in the NFL on third down is a direct consequence of an ineffective pass rush. The 3-4 requires high-caliber defensive ends and linebackers in order to work. When it worked here, look who we had at those positions. Seymour, Colvin, Vrabel, McGinnis, four players who brought it on all three downs. We don't yet have the talent we need to make it work. I trust Bill to find the talent, but I think he needs to realize that those players cost money. You guys said we needed to open the pocketbook last year and get the talent on defense. I poo-pooed it and said trust in Bill, and we now know the results of death by substitution. I love Mike Wright, Gary Guyton, Rob Ninkovich, Tully Banacay, and Eric Moore. They're great stories, great team guys, and fun to watch. Not a single one of them is a three-down player.
Who is this?
Zach.
From where?
He's in the 508 area code.
Oh, he's local. Yeah. Zach has definitely submitted the email of the day, and for that we will be getting out a complimentary copy of Patriots United for him. No, that's a great email. That's what you're looking for. You need guys that can come in and play.
Versatile guys.
And that's what's been lacking is they haven't replaced all those guys that he mentioned have been replaced with inferior players. And in a lot of cases, as he said, inferior players that aren't even capable of playing on all three downs. So there's a lot of work to be done there.
James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, wants to know our thoughts on Brooks Reed.
I don't really have any.
I don't know him either. But we will.
I don't know Brooks Reed.
If he's in the draft, we'll find out about him. If he's not, then James is just playing a joke on us, and he's probably some porn star.
Oh, it could be.
Yeah.
Good for James, though, if he is.
Yeah. Let's see.
It would have been funny if he is a porn star and Eric said, yeah, no, I think he's pretty good. He's got a good first step. Good but triangle numbers.
I don't like the way he looked at me at the combine.
He wasn't making eye contact during his interview.
Let's see. Somebody who doesn't give their name, but I'll...
From the University of Arizona.
Wow. We're big on the Tucson campus.
I've been listening to the show since last season, and I'm a first-time emailer. But a while ago, I saw someone on ESPN.com say that the Pats might draft Mark Ingram. What do you think of this? Also, what do you think of the possibility of the Patriots drafting a quarterback to groom for when Brady retires? Thanks for your time, and you guys are all really funny, and I look forward to all of your off-season shows.
I would not be happy with Mark Ingram.
You would not?
No.
What if you got him with that second first-round pick?
No.
first round, first
like
top
him.
Of the second?
I don't like the player.
You don't like him at all?
I don't care about where you take him. I don't like the player that much.
That's all.
I think he's a good college running back.
See, that's the, and again, I said this on Tuesday. The problem I have with running backs in this year's draft is when everybody mentions him, all they mention is Mark Ingram.
Because he's the only one they know. Right. He's the Heisman Trophy winner from 2 years ago.
Well, but he seems to be like the only guy that's any good this year. Why aren't other, you know, we'll once we get our discs, we'll
watch the film. There's plenty of guys
out
there that you never heard of.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not in love with the LeSure kid from Illinois either, although I like him more than Ingram.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that you can do better than that.
Let's see. What are your thoughts about the Patriots adding Chad Johnson and bringing back Randy Moss? That would be an interesting wide receiver core with having Branch and Welker at the slot. Also, do you think the Patriots have any chance of making a trade for Felix Jones? I read an article on ESPN that the Cowboys would possibly make a trade for a second and third round draft pick. Not bad for picking up a pass first running back that would fit well with the law firm Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
I would not trade a 2 and a 3 for Felix Jones.
No.
I don't know how you feel.
I wouldn't either. And Moss and Chad Johnson? Oh, God. Oh, my God.
I just assumed he was being funny with that.
I heard, though, today somebody said, well, what about the Patriots bringing back Randy Moss?
Yeah, Mike Reese wrote it. I think it's insane.
But, you know,
based on that wonderful production he put up over the last 12 weeks of the season.
But often with Reese, he doesn't write these things without some type of background info.
Yeah, I think they're all still holding on to that story that if he had gone through waivers, they were going to re-sign him. Remember?
Yeah. Larry says there's no way that Belichick will take all three of the top draft picks. There will be a trade of at least one of those picks. I think that's safe.
But a trade of the pick or trading out of the spot, because there's a difference.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep. Chris with a TIAN says, I'm off suicide watch. Congratulations. Yet after another playoff loss, what else is new? I feel like a freaking Colts fan. However, the future is indeed bright for this team, and they are on the upswing. I'd love for the Pats to stay at 17 or even move up and get an elite player. However, I have a feeling that value and next year's draft will be deeper is going to be thrown around yet again. Please tell me I'm wrong. Please.
It is funny. Every year we do the same thing. Next year's draft is deeper.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dagmar from Miami is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Dagmar.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're doing good.
How are you?
Good. You know, I haven't called lately because I've been busy with school, but I just took my chance today because I'm at work today. So I just want to give you a quick thought about the draft. I know you guys haven't gone deeply yet into it, but I just wanted to put a couple of questions out there. You guys, knowing how Bill usually approaches the draft, do you see any chance for him to trade up and actually get a physical corner, multidimensional player like Patrick Peterson from LSU? And the other question would be, I mean, everybody knows when we talk about running backs in the upcoming draft, the obvious name that comes up is Mark Ingram. But I'm very, very excited, very like intriguing about this guy from Illinois, Mikko LeSure. I believe it's his name.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Those two are the only two running backs that I consider right now ready for the NFL, or at least closer to the standard that the NFL imposes for a rookie running back. Because not even that Kansas State running back. I think he runs a little bit too high, doesn't lower his pads that much. And I basically don't like the way he runs. The other two guys, Ingram and the shooter, are more like the type of running back that I'd be targeting if I were up to get a running back through the draft.
Yeah, no, I mean, we just talked about the running backs a little bit right before you came on, Dagmar, and I agree with you. I like LeSure better than Ingram. I don't like Ingram a lot. I think he's taken a lot of hits already, and I just don't think he's all that dynamic. I want a little bit more. With the physical corner, I'm not sure that's a major priority. Patrick Patterson, it's a tremendous player, but he's a top five player. So it would cost you something to get up that far to get him. I saw a lot of LSU because the SEC games obviously are on TV a lot. he's a really, really good player. I don't think that that's something that's glaringly missing. I think Devin McCourty is a pretty physical corner. I don't think that you have to have a guy like that. I don't think cornerback's a major priority. I think that the secondary, believe it or not, is in pretty good shape. With, you know, McCourty has really transformed that unit to me overnight. You know, his development, and I think it's going to continue. You know, him with Bodden coming back, and then you have guys like Will Height and Butler and Arrington as your extra corners. I think that's good enough. I think it's a pretty good secondary.
All right.
Okay, Dagmar.
Take care, guys.
Okay.
I'll talk to you
in a long time. Thanks,
right.
Dagmar. A lot of draft stuff. We're going to have to get those tapes as soon as possible so we can. Because yeah. Right now, I only know, you know, and luckily that seems to be the only players that people are talking about. But, you know, the top 20,
the
30,
SEC
40
guys
that people are throwing out there, you know, those kinds of names are the ones that we're familiar with. But we haven't seen anybody yet, so.
You'll know more once you get back from the combine, Paul.
Well, once they get back and they tell me who gives them dirty looks.
Mike says
that's how I judge my first-round picks now, is if they're nice to Eric.
Mike says, if you love torturing yourself, then I suggest buying the highlight reel of the Jets-Pats game on iTunes. They only show the highlights, but then again, it's only $2. Anyway, after watching the highlight reel a couple of times, I now have little
doubt.
You really
bought it?
Yeah, he bought it.
My God.
I now have little doubt that the main reason we lost the game is because of injuries to the defensive line, the suspension of Brandon Spikes, and the third quarter injury to Rob Ninkovich. The Jets were able to exploit that part of the defense throughout the game. I believe you guys mentioned the following play on the blog, the one where Brandon Spikes blew his assignment that allowed Crotchery, he spells it Crotchery, to make that huge catch and run. That was a killer play because it came right on the heels of our touchdown and two-point conversion that had brought the score to 14-11. On the very next play, at least on the highlight reel, Green and LT ran off tackle and scooted in almost untouched for the touchdown. I may be wrong, but I believe that if Ninko had been in the game, he sets the edge on that play, and that touchdown run never happens. Instead,
yeah, you have your sequence way off.
Yeah, instead, we had Mayo trying to cover that, and well, that's all she wrote. And I love Mayo, so this is no shot at him.
Mayo's an inside linebacker, and there was a different situation in the game. The Sean Green that play that you're talking about happened when they were running the clock out at the end of the game. As a matter of fact, he shouldn't have scored on it. He should have just fallen down. That was after they recovered the onside kick. The Cotri play happened well before that, and that drive culminated with the Santonio Holmes catch in the end zone, not a run. So there's two totally different times of the game. Listen, they were banged up on the defensive line, no question. I don't think that the guys that were out, I mean, Ty Warren notwithstanding, who you were without all season long, I don't think it mattered much if it was Brandon Dederick out there or Ron Brace or Kyle Love or, you know, Landon Cohen, whatever his name is. These guys, to me, were all, I mean, you know, Mike Wright gave you a little bit of a pass-rushing guy. That's about it. I mean, you had Vince Wilfork out there. You had Gerard Warren out there. Those were your better guys. I mean, it just was one of those things. You fell short. The health didn't help. They started to get banged up as the season wore on and probably were at the least healthy when they went into the playoff game. Would you agree?
Yeah.
But I don't think health overall throughout the year was a huge factor, but it started to become one as the season kind of wrapped up.
Anyway, look, as disappointed as I am in the way this incredible season ended, I have almost no doubt that we'll be dominating team in 2011. There are so many good things about this 2010 team, and the core of this team will be intact next year. With another year under the belt for all of the new guys and with perhaps a few key additions from the draft in our free agency, we could really kill some teams next year. Not to mention the fact that after a brutal loss like this to the Jets and then having to listen to all their talk about how they own us now, according to Rex Ryan, you can bet that next year's team will be playing with one hell of an attitude. Heck, Belichick may make it his personal mission to humiliate the Jets and by extension every other team they play. I really thought that this 2000 team had a chance to be better than the 07 team, and they almost were. I can definitely see it happening next year for sure. Again, love the blog and love the Tuesday-Thursday podcast. You guys rock. And I had to mention this about Brady. It's a long email. I was thinking that he lacked mobility, too, after watching Rodgers and Roethlisberger last Sunday, but he's never been and never will be either of those quarterbacks able to run as well as Rodgers nor break as many would-be sackers as Big Ben. If you go back and watch the third down pass play that took place before the fourth down pass to Branch that went incomplete, Brady was dancing all over the place. He may not be able to flat out run nor break many tackles, but he can definitely move in the pocket. Brady haters should seriously calm the blank down. So, well, okay. Anyway, that's it for the show.
Oh, okay.
That's it for the show.
What's the matter? You had like a stream of consciousness.
No, I think there's a difference. He's right. There's a difference between mobility in the pocket and running.
Yeah.
I think what I was talking about was running.
Yeah.
I think he moved fine in the pocket.
Yeah. I agree.
Anyway, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for joining us, all you people from Florida, from calling in. Andy and Eric, staying at home. Eric, I hope those Red Cross parachutes with food have hit your house by now. I hate to see that you're snowed in like that.
And once again, if you want to donate, it's 1-800-494-ERIC
right.
with a K.
Right.
If you want to donate to the Scalavino Fund.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week. Patriots.com Radio. That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.